This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Scott Leary. Scott is a federal prosecutor from the Northern District of Mississippi. He's married, has seven kids, and he's a member of the St. John Evangelist Parish in Oxford, Mississippi. And Scott's been with us all week talking about his own personal journey, which is very inspiring. And if you haven't had a chance to hear it, I encourage you to take the time to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them and put them on whatever device you have that allows you to do that and listen to it at your leisure. But welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Peter.
I want to start, you talked about in your journey, in your college years in particular, I mean, you were raised Catholic, but didn't really know your faith that well. You ended up becoming an evangelical Protestant, really. You made a decision you were going to do that. And even as you moved into your career and family, you and your wife had made a decision you were going to leave the Catholic Church. Before we talk about what we ended the program yesterday, I want to ask you, what was it like when you went to your friends who were Protestant, when you said, hey, I'm actually becoming Catholic. Yeah.
You know, the sad thing, Peter, is that Protestant churches in the South are full of Catholics. They're full of them. Because we're doing better, but we haven't taught our people well. And folks will have an experience of God outside the Catholic Church. Somebody will share with them, like we're talking right now, and they will know, God will talk to them, and they'll know it's true. They'll know Jesus Christ is real, and suddenly they'll get it that, holy cow, he wants a relationship with me. And when that happens outside the Catholic Church, often people will equate that to the fallacy of the Catholic Church, which is not, that's not true. But so many people are left unprepared, and they leave the church. I've seen it. I went to Catholic high school. I've got many friends that are not Catholic anymore. Folks don't understand the Catholic teaching.
Right.
You know, they'll say, oh my gosh, you know, now the crisis du jour now is homosexual marriage. And they're like, oh my gosh, the Catholic Church is homophobic. Well, there's a reason for what we believe. And
phobia has got nothing to do with it.
And it's got nothing to do with it. But to answer your question, you know, I was a pretty strong Protestant man when I reverted, I think that's the word, convert and revert, I reverted back to the Catholic Church. You know, the sad thing is that it ended several friendships from close friends of mine. And that's sad, and I kind of get it, though, because the Catholic Church is right, Peter. It's not just a little bit right. It's real right. And if it's wrong, it's not just a little bit wrong. It's real wrong. Because the Catholic Church says that we were founded by Jesus Christ and that this Mass you celebrate is not a church service. It's not it. It's not a speaking contest. It is a participation in the passion of Christ. Today, a participation. It is different. This is truly Jesus Christ on this altar, and you are participating with the sacrifice. And so, if that's right, it changes everything.
Yeah, it's game changing.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
And I was dealing with this game changing stuff here. And so I'm believing that Christ is speaking to the world through his church. I'm believing this. And as I said last time, then I run across this Humana Vitae, natural family planning condemnation of artificial birth control. And so I'm broke at this stage of my life. I've got tons of law school debt. My wife is working. I'm working. And we've got our third child on the way. Okay. And then I come home and say, golly, we've got to look at what the church teaches, darling, on natural family planning. And my wife says, God bless you. You have lost your mind.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. It's this natural family planning stuff. You know, people kind of view it, the church is meddling.
Yeah.
You know, and really,
it's none of the church's business.
It's none of the church's business what I do in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, we had good Catholic folks saying, no. You don't have to follow that. Nobody follows that. But we were exposed to it, and I'll tell you, it's funny. Some of God's greatest blessings sneak up on you. Because my wife and I entered into natural family planning reluctantly. We were not happy. We weren't praising God and beating tambourines. We were confused and reluctant. and we learned about it, and we said, okay, God, we're just sort of going to do this, okay? And now here I am, 20 years later. We're out of our baby-bearing years, and I can say it tangibly was the most profound thing in my life. You know, I'm not saying to thwart my relationship with God and all that. That's not what I mean. But I mean, of the church's teaching, it revolutionized me as a man. Well, why is that, Scott? Because this. I've got 7 kids now. I can put a name on God's faithfulness. It occurred to me about kid number five, I'm holding this infant in my arms that I love. At the very moment he's born, I hold him, and I would die for him that quick. With each additional kid, it wasn't like I had less love. It's like I grew. And suddenly I know why I'm here. Yeah. I am a man. These are my children. This is my woman. And God has given me this immense blessing and responsibility to shepherd these young people. And the love he gives you for children, sacrificing for them, it's hard. It is hard. But we do it joyfully. And I would not have that. You know, yeah. I got 4 kids now that I wouldn't have. I can't tell you how profound that is when I look at people and say, look, buddy, I've outsmarted everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a rich man.
Yeah.
And I won't stand for somebody denying that, because I will absolutely say it to your face. I'm a rich man.
Yeah. We're here with Scott Leary as our guest this week. And, you know, having spent some time at your house and being there, and some of your kids were, some of the 7 were around, your house is like Grand Central Station. Young people from the neighborhood coming in and out. It's like, it's not like you just have 7 kids. It's almost like the whole neighborhood, all the kids in the neighborhood are your children too. You guys have a charism. You have a spiritual gift and a natural gift to be able to create an amazing home that almost everybody walks through the door feels like it's their home almost. You know, there's such hospitality and love. I know it's all your wife, right?
But it is. I'm the hindrance to the whole deal. Yeah.
But you never would have, and there was so much joy there. There's just so much life there. Remember the night we talked and we were praying together and it was all so relaxed and natural. That's a gift, to create an environment like that with Christ at the center of it. It's not forced. It's not awkward. It's family. It's love. It's relationship. And you never would have got there if you had not heard the teaching of the church and the Holy Spirit leading and prompting you to open your heart to the teaching of Humanae Vitae, that most people look at it and say, that's just wrong. It's nobody's business. It's way too hard. Even priests, maybe priests who are listening to the program today, and you've been a little bit afraid to talk about it or to proclaim it because you don't want to heap burdens on people or something like that. It's not a burden. If you're living with Christ the center of your life, you just trust him. He's the God of the impossible. What looks like impossibility is a pathway to life, right?
Yeah, and your house will always be messy now. I will say that.
Yeah.
You're never going to have that pristine house, or at least if you are, we've never been able to figure that out. but for you guys out there, look, we are, as guys, we're looking for that meaning in our life. We're looking for purpose, and we want to slay the dragon, right? We want it. For you guys driving around, you want to slay the dragon. You want to get the girl and slay the dragon. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, your family is that gives you that purpose. It's the very foundation for why you're here. And it, to me, it let me know why I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm provider, protector for these children. Can I do a little apologetic thing real quick?
Sure.
Look, the church's view on this, it's not some kind of archaic viewpoint that we inherited because we hate women or we can't adapt with the ages. The Catholic Church says this. Look, God loves you. God died for you. You will live forever. Your soul will live forever. And God is so in love with you, with your soul, that he died for you. Now, the creation of souls is extremely important to God because you will live forever. You're more important than all the gold in Fort Knox. Okay, so and I'm stealing from Janet Smith right now. A sperm does not have a soul, right? A little egg does not have a soul. But when a sperm and an egg unite, God creates. The body may make it 100 years, max, if you're really lucky. But God creates a soul, and the creation of souls is extremely important to God. Now, he divides it to be under between a man and a woman under the covenant of marriage. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but the creation of souls is so important. And so what we say is, God, we like this sex stuff. It's awesome. It's good. It's great. But this is our world. We really don't want you part of it. And when you're thinking about it, you know, wait a second now. The creation of souls is coming from this. This is a holy, it's great, it's fun, it's wonderful, it's awesome, sex is, but it's also holy. And what natural family planning says is that, you know what, Scott, this is not just your business. This is our business. And when God became part of this, it's not just the church meddling. Suddenly now, I understand, you know, I have a greater appreciation for what's going on between this man and this woman that are bound under the covenant of marriage. It works. This is the other thing for you folks out there. Natural family planning works. It's not the old rhythm method. It works. The problem with it is you get to abstain between your wife's cycles. And you know what, guys? We don't like that.
Yeah.
We don't like to abstain. And every time you take a trip with your wife, and so I'm from down south, so, you know, once a year we get some kind of trip to New Orleans. And you know what? It's going to land right smack in the middle of your wife's fertile days when you're supposed to abstain. Yeah. Okay. So you're on a trip, and it's right smack in the middle of your wife's fertile days. And so natural family planning is telling you, you know, you got a high pregnancy potential right now. And so you have this conversation, Peter, and excuse me, I think I'm getting PG-13. So you have this conversation, and we've all had it, folks. You know, do you want to risk it? And what that is, let me tell you, folks, that's the good news. Having that conversation every month, the teasing, the playfulness, the scariness, right? That's awesome. Because what happens is, you're now part of your wife's reproduction. You're dealing with it together. And instead of just taking a pill and forgetting about it for right. 5 years.
And that's one of the things a lot of guys want to do. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to engage at that level, that deeper relational level. And then together to have to trust God in that decision. Just to say, look, I mean, God has given us this power. God has given us this gift. And it's ours to choose how we want to do it at this moment. But we stand here as fellow disciples, brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as husband and wife and best friends or whatever. And we're standing as one before the Lord. And we're going to trust him and we're going to lean on him. That's really very, very inspiring. I wish we had more time today. The time went by just like that. Maybe we can touch on some of this a little bit tomorrow. But I do want to talk tomorrow about your career, too, and
sure.
some of the outreach that you're doing, because I think it's amazing how God is using you right there in the context of a very dangerous and difficult world that we're facing. And I think you can encourage some of our friends as well. So, friends, if you'd like to know more about Humanae Vitae, just Google Humanae Vitae, and you'll find the information there. Go to Vatican.va is another option for you. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Scott Leary saying, God bless you, and let's live for him today.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing, and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.